I have to admit, I kind of struggled with the title of the message a little bit. I don't want it to come across too sharp, but I guess it did, you know. But you'll see that here in a moment. Proverbs chapter 17, as you're receiving your handout, let me read the verses. Notice verse 7. The Bible says, "Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince." Look down at verse 10. "A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool." Look at verse 12. "Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly." Look down at verse 16. "Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it?" Look down at verse 21. "He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy." Verse 24. "Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth." Verse 25. "A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bear him." Amen. Then down to verse 28. "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." Let's go ahead and pray together. Now, Father, we thank you for this evening. It's just a joy to be here tonight. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your wisdom that is found in your word. And Lord, I pray tonight as I preach the message that I believe you've led me to preach, that you'd please once again fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit. Lord, remove any distractions from our minds and from this room tonight. I pray your word would have free course. It would go forth with power and clarity. Amen. And that it would land upon ears that are ready to hear. And a heart that is ready to receive. And a will that is ready to do whatever it is you have for us to do tonight. So bless the message. We do ask if someone's here tonight that is not saved, that they not be a fool and not get saved tonight. But may they get saved this evening. And for those of us that do know you, I pray you'd work in our hearts as we hear the message this evening. Bless, we pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. In a 2016 online survey, it was done by a group known as Reddit. The question was asked this. This question was asked: who is depicted as the biggest fool in history? Well, that interested me when I saw that. And the response that was chosen as the best answer was the one that named Neville Chamberlain as the biggest fool in history. Now, Neville Chamberlain was the Prime Minister of the UK from May 1937 to May 1940, at the early onset there of World War II. You say, why would he say that? Well, on September 30th, 1938, Chamberlain, who was said to be a pacifist, arranged his third meeting with Adolf Hitler, who had just led Nazi Germany to invade Czechoslovakia. He went there to try to work out a peace agreement with him. Chamberlain commented after the meeting that Hitler was, quote, "the commonest little dog I have ever seen." And that he was, quote, "entirely undistinguished. You would never notice him in a crowd and would take him for the house painter that he once was." That's what Chamberlain said. But many people warned Chamberlain. They warned him that Hitler was a man that could never be trusted. His past and his present actions attested to this. But Chamberlain left that meeting, signing what was known as the Munich Agreement. Now, the Munich Agreement was an agreement between Nazi Germany and the UK, France, and Italy, in which they agreed, and many of you know this, they agreed to surrender a large portion of Czechoslovakia, which bordered Germany, give it to Germany in exchange for peace. Land for peace. Sound familiar? So in other words, they promised Hitler the land he invaded, and he promised them peace. And so Chamberlain left that meeting feeling pretty good about himself. He returned home from that summit. He was smiling from ear to ear. He publicly proclaimed in a speech to a large cheering crowd in London when he landed there that he had, quote, secured the guarantee for peace in our time. And that those two nations, Germany and the UK, were, quote, never to war again, and that this document, quote, assured the peace of Europe. Well, we know history, right? We know what happened. March 13th, 1939, just several months later, Hitler invaded and conquered the rest of Czechoslovakia. Didn't stop there. He went on to Poland and then much of the rest of Western Europe, thus commencing World War II. Now, World War II was the deadliest military conflict in history. They say that an estimated 70 to 85 million people perished. The civilian deaths totaled 50 to 55 million. Military deaths, 21 to 25 million. And 5 million prisoner of war deaths occurred. They say about 3% of the 2.3 billion people on Earth at the time in 1940 perished. 3% of the world. Now, Chamberlain was considered a fool. Why so? Because he believed something that went against all the evidence. He believed something that defied logic. He believed something that rejected reason, that ignored the obvious, and that contradicted the facts. And by the way, that's exactly what a fool does. And so tonight I want to preach on that subject, as you notice the title. Don't be a fool.
Amen.
Or we could say, the wisdom of not being a fool. You know, that word fool is a very strong word. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount that someone who calls someone a fool is in danger of the judgment. That's what he said. But the Bible talks a lot about fools. It speaks a lot about fools. And by the way, if God calls someone a fool, then they're a fool. Amen?
Amen.
The word fool and its forms, fools, foolish, foolishly, appears in 189 verses in the Bible. We find it 147 times in the Old Testament, 42 times in the New Testament. First occurrence is in Genesis 31 when Laban was speaking to Jacob. And he said in verse 28, "And hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing." That's the first time you find the word fool or a form of it in the Bible. The last occurrence we find in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 15 where the Bible says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Now, 78 times of those 189 times in the Bible that we find the word fool, it's found in the book of Proverbs. Nearly a little less than half of the time, the word fool, foolish, foolishly, is found in the book of Proverbs. As a matter of fact, the two chapters in the book of Proverbs where the word fool is mentioned the most is Proverbs chapter 26, where you find the word fool 11 times in the first 12 verses. Then here in Proverbs chapter 17, you find it 8 times in 28 verses. And every time that the word fool is mentioned, it's mentioned in a negative way, a derogatory way, a disparaging way, really in a preventative way, if you will, where God repeatedly warns us all about being a fool or acting like a fool. God says, don't do it.
Right.
Don't be a fool and don't act like a fool. Well, what does that mean exactly? Well, I want to look at that tonight so that you and I won't be a fool. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to act foolishly. I want to do what God says. I want to live a life with wisdom from above. That's what I want. So let's begin with number one, the definition of a fool. What exactly are we talking about when we talk about a fool? Well, a fool or a foolish person is defined, according to my favorite dictionary, Webster's 1828, as one who is destitute of reason, one who is destitute of the common powers of understanding. It is somebody who doesn't exercise his mind, doesn't exercise reason. In other words, they will pursue a course that is contrary to the dictates of wisdom. In other words, this is what wisdom says. This is what reason says. This is what logic says. This is what God's word says. But I'm going to go another way. Right. That's what a fool does. In other words, it's someone who behaves in a way or makes decisions or comes to a conclusion that defies logic, that ignores the obvious, that ignores what is clearly seen and contradicts all the facts and evidence. In other words, they act contrary to sound wisdom and follow their own inclinations. This is what I want to do, regardless of what wisdom says. That person is a fool. Now, this definition lines up exactly with what the Bible says. You could look back there, if you like, at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. Here's what it says. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. In other words, it doesn't matter what wisdom says, what logic says, what reason says, but this is what I think, therefore I am going to do it. He is following what he thinks is right in his own eyes. That's a fool.
Right.
Now let me give you an example. If I were to have a bottle, and I was not going to bring one up here, if you're wondering, but if I were to have a bottle in front of me right here that said bathroom cleaner on it, okay, and it had a warning on the side. Maybe it had a skull and crossbones, and it said poison. There were warnings on the label that said do not ingest. It had a poison control phone number on it. And I even went as far as to open it up and to smell it, and it smelled like bathroom cleaner. If I were to pick that up and drink it, I'd be a fool. Well, how do you know if you don't try it? That's a foolish statement. That is. Why? Because it defies common sense. It defies logic. It's interesting. Webster's 1828 dictionary also says this. It said some persons are born fools and are called natural fools. Others may become fools by some injury done to the brain. But most people, this is my part now, most people that are fools choose to be fools. That was a good spot for an amen. Why is that? Because they defy logic and reason and biblical wisdom. They are self-willed. They are stubborn. They are hard-headed. And they choose to do their own thing. They're fools.
Amen.
Now, there's two types of fools we're going to look at tonight. Letter A, there's the lost fool.
Right.
The lost fool. You know, Psalm 14:1, and it's repeated in Psalm 53 in verse 1, says this, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So watch this. God declares that a person that says in their heart, they're not just saying it, I mean, they really believe in their heart, there is no God.
Right.
God says that person is a fool.
Amen.
Very clearly, that the person who denies that there's a God, that denies that there is a creator,
right,
that claims to be an atheist or an agnostic, God says that person is a fool. It's interesting because they would turn the tables and say to us that we're the fool for believing the Bible when the opposite is true. An atheist and an agnostic, someone that denies that there is a God, is a fool. Now, why is that? Why is that? Well, let's find out. Go over to Romans chapter 1. We're going to go to two places here. Romans chapter 1. Why would God say that somebody that says there is no God is a fool? Well, here's why. Romans chapter 1, notice verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them.
Right.
So notice God places inside of every human being,
amen,
the knowledge that there is a God. It's not enough knowledge, right, to save them, but it is enough knowledge to condemn them.
Right.
They know. Watch this. For God hath, here it is, showed it unto them.
Amen.
Well, how did he show it? Well, he tells us, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen,
right,
being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The knowledge of God is clearly seen so that you and I, or with every human being, is without excuse.
Amen.
Notice what they do in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. What he's saying here is that the existence of God is clearly seen for all of us to see. It's out there.
Amen.
You say where? It's in creation.
Right.
It's right there.
Praise the Lord.
Lest you doubt, go over to Psalm chapter 19.
Right.
Let's go ahead and look at that. Psalm chapter 19. Notice verse 1. We read, the heavens declare the glory of God.
Right.
And the firmament showeth, there it is again, showeth, there's the evidence,
right,
his handiwork.
Right.
Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. We have an object lesson in the existence of God before us every day that we live. It's right there. It's in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now understand something very important. When we speak of faith, we are not speaking of believing in something that is completely irrational. We're not speaking of believing in something that defies all logic or that is some blind allegiance to something. You see, true faith is supported by irrefutable evidence. True faith is founded upon facts.
Right.
True faith is based on reason. It is based on logic.
Amen.
I like the way David Hunt puts it in his book, Defense of the Faith. He writes this, quote, listen closely. Faith takes a step beyond reason, but only in the direction that reason and evidence have pointed. In other words, it's not a blind faith, it's not an irrational faith, and it's not some blind allegiance. I believe in this thing called God. It's not like that at all. It is supported by irrefutable evidence. It's founded upon facts, and it's based on reason. And God tells us here in His Word that the evidence of His existence is all around us.
Right.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, so that you and I, every human being, is without excuse.
Right.
You see, it's not hard to look at the incredible nature of the universe and the world. I mean, from the atomic structure of the elements to the complexity of a living cell, which has 10,000 chemical reactions going on all at once in perfect balance with one another, to come to the conclusion that this could not have happened by chance. There's no way. I mean, look at the design of a leaf. Look at the complexity of the human eye. Look at the complexity of the human brain and the human ear. You see, evidence and reason points us to God.
Amen.
Let me illustrate this way. Imagine if two survivors of a shipwreck drifted for days in a life raft across the South Pacific, and finally, after days, were washed ashore on some little island somewhere. As they landed there, what would their great, great hope be? It would be that that island is inhabited by somebody so that they can find perhaps medical attention, maybe a means of returning home, or maybe some food. And so here they are, they get off the raft, and as they walk through the jungle, they come upon this automated factory operating at full force. And there's nobody there, but they're seeing products being manufactured and packaged for and labeled for shipping. And one of the men says, "Praise God, the island's inhabited." And the other one says, "Are you crazy? You've been in the sun too long. There's no reason to believe that." The first man then looks down and he looks on the ground and he sees a watch. And he picks it up. He says, "Look, a watch. Certainly there are people here." The other man says, "You've got to be kidding. That's just a conglomeration of atoms that happened to come together in that form by chance over a billion years." No person in their right mind would think that.
Right.
You know, a single cell in a leaf is thousands of times more complex than a factory and a watch put together.
Right.
And only a fool would look out at our creation and say there is no God.
Right.
And so when a person says that, when they say there's no God, when they say things like, well, the earth is a result of a big bang where nothing exploded or all of the atoms were compressed into this tiny pinhead and it exploded and all these chunks started falling out and started spinning around, and on one of those chunks it rained for a million years or millions of years, and life in this primordial soup, life emerged from nothing. That person's a fool.
Amen.
How does nothing explode?
Right.
And who makes it explode?
Right.
And what in the world are you talking? When have we seen it rain on a rock and life come out of that?
Right. Never.
That person is a fool.
Amen.
And to say that the Bible's not true,
amen,
and to say that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God,
amen,
and to say that Jesus Christ did not die for the sins of the world,
right,
when he says that, understand this, he is denying what all the logic and reason and evidence is pointing to.
Right. Amen.
He's a fool.
Amen.
And sadly, he's a lost fool.
Right.
So there's a lost fool. But there's another type of fool, and that is the saved fool. Do you know it is possible, and most of us could attest by someone we know perhaps, it is possible for a person to be saved, to be born again, to be regenerated, to be a child of God, to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, yet choose to live their life as a fool.
Right.
It's possible to do that.
Amen.
Well, I'm saved, but I want to live like a fool. Now, they may not say those words,
right,
but that's what they're doing.
Amen.
In other words, they can believe what the Bible says about salvation. They can even have a head knowledge about what the Bible says about living the Christian life. Yet they can choose to live their life as a fool.
Right.
They could choose to ignore God's commands. They could choose to live as they want to live, or perhaps cherry pick God's commands. You know, the ones I like, I'll live by. The ones I don't like, I will not. And they can even think that their life is going to somehow be the exception to the rule. That I can live this way and everything's going to turn out peachy keen for me. They think that verses like Deuteronomy 11:26 through 28, that doesn't apply to them. Somehow they're going to get by. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day. And they say, well, yeah, I see that. But that's not going to happen to me. Oh, yes, it is. And if you think it's not, you're a fool. You're a fool.
Right.
You see, we would call that the saved fool. Perhaps we could call this person a practical atheist. Now, one author wrote this, and I like it. He says, the biggest fool in the world is not the philosophical atheist. It is the practical atheist. A practical atheist is someone who believes in God, but lives as if there's no God. Now, I don't remember the latest statistic. I was reading it today. I was going to write it down, but I did not. But it's somewhere in the upper 90s percentile that says that 90-plus percent, I think it was 96, don't quote me, but I think it was 96% of Americans, maybe less, but that's what it says, believe in God. And I look out and I say, something's wrong.
Right.
Maybe I've lost my mind. Well, I want to say, what God do you believe in?
Right.
Because it's certainly not the God of the Bible.
Amen.
But that type of person, again, is a practical atheist.
Right.
And you can have someone that is a saved person, a believer, but they live like a fool. They live as if there is no God. They live as if God's commands do not apply to them. That's a sad place to be.
Amen.
And there's going to be a sad end.
Right.
If it doesn't change.
Right.
So I ask you tonight, would God characterize you, would he characterize me in some areas of my life, or maybe a lot, as a fool?
Amen.
Maybe tonight someone here is here that's a lost fool. Yeah. I'm here, but you know, I don't know. Maybe some young person that's here and been saved. Yeah, get saved tonight. Don't be a fool. I don't believe in that. Yeah, I'm just here because no, you're a fool.
Right.
Okay, look out here in the world. Look out at creation. And you tell me, how did we get here? Come up with your answer. There's only one logical answer, reasonable answer. And God even says, I've showed it to you, so you're without excuse. And that is, there is a creator God that created us and that we're accountable to. But maybe you're here tonight and you're a saved fool. I hope not.
Amen.
What does that look like then? Well, number two, write this down. The deeds of a fool. Now, someone who is behaving like a fool will display certain characteristics. Somebody, the deeds of a fool is what we're looking at. Now, we cannot look at all whatever hundred and some verses that describe the deeds of the fool. But I thought this would be kind of fun. At first, when I started preparing the message, I said, I'm going to go through Proverbs. I said, whoa, this is too long. So I said, I'm going to just look at this chapter. So let's see. According to God, someone that lives the life of a fool, someone who, again, just disregards logic and reason and God's word, what does their life look like? Well, let's look at some of the characteristics here in chapter 17. Well, I found, I think, four of them. Is that right? A, B, C. There's four of them. There's really five, but I grouped one together. So letter A, here's one. A fool does this. He refuses to reason with the wise.
Right.
Now watch this. Look at verse 7. This is the first time we... Look at... I'm over here in Psalms, probably like you. Proverbs 17:7. That's our verse. Notice, excellent speech becometh not a fool. That's interesting. In other words, a fool is not known by excellent speech.
Right.
He's not interested in excellent speech. You say, what is that? The word excellent means being of great value or worth, being valuable. In other words, he does not want to get involved with conversations that include wisdom and logic and reason that God gives us, by the way. I'm talking about what God tells us here. He doesn't want to get involved with those confrontations, or conversations, I should say, that confront his actions, that questions his behavior,
right,
that challenges his thinking, that challenges his view and his direction. You see, he's not interested in facts. He's not interested in truth.
Amen.
He's not interested in God's word.
Right.
He's not interested in reality.
Amen.
Why is that? Because his decisions, his behavior is based on his own selfish desires.
Amen.
His own self-centered desires.
Right.
And so what is he? Someone who's a fool, they don't want the preacher to come and talk to them. They don't want the parent to come and talk to them. They don't want to deal with things. And so when those conversations begin, they either avoid those conversations, try not to get into them, that they're going to confront him with the truth, or when those conversations begin, he zones out.
Right.
Oh, what'd you say? Well, he doesn't participate. In fact, those who try to reason with the fool, I would imagine, just based on the look on the face, they sound to him like Charlie Brown's teacher. How many remember that? And Charlie, wah, 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 wah. All right, for you young people, there was a cartoon, Charlie Brown. But you know that, right? Okay, well, Charlie Brown's teacher never talked for whatever reason. She just never did. And so Charlie Brown talked, and when it's her time to talk, all you heard was, wah, 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 wah. Okay, and so somebody that is a fool, when someone's trying to give them logic and reason and talk to them, what do? They zone out, and all they hear is, yeah, because they don't want to deal with it. So the fool, number one, letter A, refuses to reason with the wise. Letter B, here's the next one. A fool also doesn't respond well to correction. Now we're taking all these four verses here in Proverbs chapter 17. Notice verse 10. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool? I'm sorry, wrong verse. 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. There it is. So the fool, he doesn't respond well to correction. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about you and I responding to correction.
Amen.
When someone reproves us, and forget about the source, who it is, if they are right and they're dealing with truth and God's Word and logically with us, guess what? We should respond to it biblically. Get right and repent of what we did wrong. But the fool doesn't do that. Because the fool does not like authority.
Amen.
The fool does not like to be corrected. Not by his parents or his or her parents, by the teachers, by his boss at work, by any godly friends, or by the pastor, or by anybody. He can even receive corporal punishment from God-ordained earthly authority, from parents. Notice what it says. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. So he could be dealt with by parents, by the police, by the justice system, and it doesn't affect him. He can be chastened by God himself, and it doesn't faze him because he never learns. It never gets in. What's the matter with him? He's a fool. He's a fool.
Right.
Proverbs 7:22 says this, and this deals with the strange woman. He goeth, the man going after the strange woman, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Think about that.
Right.
Like an ox going to the slaughter. Not thinking about the results of the future. He's just going to the slaughter. Now you've seen how they do that with the cows that they're going to slaughter. What they do is they put these things that look like those bike stands, you know, the rails like that, and they put the food on the other side. And so they get accustomed to putting their head in between those bars to eat. And then when it's time for the slaughter, they do the same thing. They get up their head in there, and then something comes up and slices their jugular. That's how they get them accustomed to that. They don't even think about the future. Again, it doesn't affect them because they're not thinking about that. And that's the same idea as the fool. He doesn't see what God is trying to do in his life. He doesn't read the chastisement and the trouble that he's dealing with as something that God is dealing him with. All he cares about is, I want to do what I want to do. That person's a fool.
Right. Amen.
I want to say a big fool.
Amen.
So he refuses to reason with the wise. Verse 7. Verse 10, he doesn't respond well to correction. Then I notice in verse 12 this. He reacts in anger. Look what happens here. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man, rather than a fool in his folly. Now I remember that we had gone down to the Smoky Mountains one time, and I forget the area where it's just like plateau area at a certain time of year. It was called Cades Cove, something like that. But when you go down there a certain time of year, they'd say, watch out for the bear. Especially the mama bears. Especially if they have cubs.
Amen.
You don't want to go near them.
Amen.
Why is that? Because they're not happy when you come by. Because they think you're coming after their cubs. And that's what it's saying here. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. So a fool is said here to be worse than a bear robbed of her cubs. A mama bear robbed of her cubs is angry. She's ready to kill. She shows no mercy. And so that's how a fool reacts when he's or she is confronted. How do they react? They don't repent. They don't want to get right. How do they act? They react in anger.
Right.
Particularly many times if the person is trying to help them.
Right.
You see, since a fool cannot give a reasonable answer, or they cannot debate you logically, and they don't want to admit their error and admit their wrong or repent, their default response is anger.
Right.
Anger. Why is that? It's a strategy. You see, the fool is hoping that the person challenging him or confronting him backs down.
Right.
Or stops the conversation.
Right.
Or stops the questioning. Or is put in fear of continuing the conversation or confronting them in the future. I'm going to make you pay for this if you're going to question me. You see, the fool knows that anger is a powerfully repelling tool to quench confrontation. He wants to be left alone in his foolishness. So he responds in anger. There's a fourth thing. He refuses to reason with others. He doesn't respond well to correction. He reacts in anger. Let's go to the next fool statement in verse 16. And that is this. He revels in his foolishness. Isn't that weird? I'm a fool, and I like it. That's what it's saying. He's reveling in it. Notice verse 16. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? Notice there's a price to get wisdom, but he doesn't want it. He doesn't want wisdom. He's a fool, and he thinks he's okay with, he likes being a fool. It doesn't bother him. As a matter of fact, he may be even out to prove everybody wrong. I'm going to show them that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a fool and show them I'm going to end up on top here. No, you're not.
Right.
You're a fool.
Amen.
He thinks that I can still be a fool and have a wonderful life. I can still reject God's word. I can go my own way. I can do my own thing. And it's all going to work out for me. No, it's not.
Right.
No, it's not.
Amen.
Because it's going against the laws of God.
Right.
You know, it's interesting, verse 24. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. What's that saying there? It's saying he's trying to live his foolish life to find a shortcut, a quick way to the end. Not God's way. Not doing right, living right, you know, character and honesty, plodding away, you know, day after day, doing the right thing. No. He wants to get there quick. And so he thinks, I'm going to do it my way because he thinks I'm going to get this thing sooner than anybody else. He's a fool. You cannot violate God's way and end up on top.
Amen.
It's going to catch you sooner or later. Which leads me to number three, and that is the destruction of a fool. You know, for a fool, it never ends well.
Right.
Listen to me, young person. It never ends well.
That's right.
Never.
Amen.
You're going to look back one day and you're going to regret that you were a fool for so long. And we're going to get to how you can get out of that for a moment. Notice what happens. There's two things, the last two fool statements here. Number one, we find, or letter A, he breaks his parents' hearts.
Right.
Look at verse 21. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow.
Right.
And the father of a fool hath no joy. Look at verse 24. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. And then verse 28 we'll get to in a moment. But understand something. The goal of every Christian parent is for their child to know God,
Amen.
To love God, and live for God.
Praise the Lord.
Listen, young person, your parents want what's best for you.
Right.
That's why they bring you to church. That's why they put you in the Christian school. That's why they put you in King's Kid. That's why they send you to camp. That's why they go to family camp with you. That's why they invest in you. Why is that? Because they don't want you to end up a fool. They want you to end up a wise person. They want you to know God, to love God, and to live for God. Some of them, like my son, maybe have even experienced a foolish life themselves because maybe they got saved later or they went through a period of backsliding and they're trying to warn you, say, don't do it, don't do it. No, don't live the life of the fool. It's not worth it. Your life is going to be wasted. You can never get those years back.
Right. Amen.
They love you.
Praise the Lord.
When you choose the life of the fool, there's no greater heartache than to watch a child choose that life. So he breaks his parents' hearts. And then letter B, he wrecks his own life. We've got to go back to Proverbs 10 for this one. But the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Proverbs 10:10, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. God's saying this, you know, you may be going down a path right now, and you may be singing zippity-doo-dah, clicking your heels up in the air as if nothing's going to happen, and you're going the path of a fool. Understand something, that path is going to end quickly.
Right. Amen.
There's pleasure in sin for a season.
Right.
But the season comes to an end. God says a prating fool shall fall. He shall fall. He shall fall. Don't live the life of a fool. You will regret it. It's just a matter of time. And then number four, and we're done. The definition of a fool, the deeds of a fool, destruction of a fool, and then the detour of a fool. Guess what, young person, or not so young person. Maybe you're living the life of a fool right now. Maybe you're just doing some things and, you know, you're cherry picking the Word of God, or you're just, you know, maybe you're just here going through the mechanics of the Christian life. Do you know that you can change that right now?
Praise the Lord.
That's how wonderful our God is.
Praise the Lord.
If you're a lost fool, you can get saved tonight. God's arms are open wide to you. He's ready to forgive you. That's who He is. He's a God ready to forgive. He delights in mercy, the Bible says. And no matter how foolish you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what path you've been down, you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ today, tonight, at this moment, receive Him as your Savior. All of your sins will be forgiven, and you'll have a home in heaven.
Praise the Lord.
Maybe you are saved, and you're kind of going down that path anyway. The life of a fool. Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, you know, but all that stuff in the Bible. Hey, I got Christian friends going to the church down the road. And they don't listen. They listen to that kind of music you tell us not to listen to.
Praise.
They don't dress the way we dress. And they're fine.
Yeah.
Amen. Just wait. And they don't attend church faithfully. And they don't have a King James Bible. Boy, you guys are awful tight around here.
Amen.
No, we're trying to protect you.
Praise
and show you the right way.
Right.
Don't look at what they're doing.
Right.
Just you do the right thing. Live the life of a wise child of God, living by wisdom from above.
Amen.
And as time progresses, you're going to find out how this thing ends up.
Praise.
Let me just say this. It ends up a whole lot better.
Praise
for those that are not living the life of a fool than those that are. So tonight I say this. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool.
Amen.
Don't be a fool. If you're headed down that direction, turn around right now. If your heart's not right, get on your face at the altar. Ask your parents for forgiveness. Ask somebody for forgiveness. Don't sit there hard-hearted as a fool. Get it right tonight.
Amen.
God wants you to. And you can.
Amen.
If you want to. Amen.